This is Equestrian Legacy Radio, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. Today on Equestrian Legacy Radio, we'll visit with Karen Pickering of Northwest Horse Source Magazine, and in our second half hour, we'll talk with Tina Mae Weber, who'll share information and news about an exciting new show coming to Equestrian Legacy Radio. Equestrian Legacy Radio is made possible today by our sponsors at the General Store and the Gallery at East of Santa Fe. You'll find everything for the horse lover and those that love the equestrian lifestyle at the Gallery at East of Santa Fe and in the General Store at equestrianlegacy.net. When we come back, we'll be talking with Karen Pickering.
I love them from the start. They're in my veins, running my blood. And if I live to be 100, I'll never get enough. They fill our days, they grace our lives. Are links on the same chain, the kindred spirits everywhere. This love of horses that we share. Some pinto, some sorrow, the ponies, the pasos, palominos, they're in my dreams, they keep me smiling, yeah, when I go on to the next life, I know I'll be riding. Fill our days, they grace our lives. Our hearts beat the same. Those of us who feel this way are links on the same chain. Kindred spirits everywhere. This love of horses that we share.
This love of horses, and we are very happy to have joining us today on the show Karen Pickering, who is the owner, publisher, and editor of Northwest Horse Source Magazine. And Karen, I think we're getting some feedback from your end.
We're getting some feedback from your end.
Okay, what should I do?
If you can mute the program, I think you're probably listening to the show there. So, but anyway, we're so happy to have you joining us, and whatever you did, that took care of it.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. That sounds like a commercial. I can hear you now.
All right.
Okay. Sometimes we have some problems. If people are listening to the show in the background, it bleeds through, but that is great. So, again, I want to just welcome you to the program, and I was just saying that you are the owner and publisher and editor of Northwest Horse Horse Magazine, and you're located out in Washington, and we just want to welcome you to the show today.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Gary. This is very exciting.
Well, we're happy to have you, and I met you for the first time, and not in person, but we've communicated for several months. And just such a super, super sweet person. You helped us publicize a national trail ride for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation that we did earlier this year. And when I listened to the song Marianne Kennedy does, This Love of Horses was our first song today, it made me realize how that helps to connect people, whatever part of the country you're in.
Absolutely.
But we want to introduce you to our worldwide audience, and as you and I were talking just before the show started, we have folks that are listening in about 50 countries and all across the United States, and tell us a little bit about how you got started with horses.
Well, I got started pretty young. I did stick horses. I drew horses ever since I was, you know, old enough to walk and talk. And I tormented my parents until at the age of 10, we moved to Blaine, Washington, which is on the Canadian border and on the Pacific coast, and was able to get my first horse. So I thoroughly enjoyed having a horse. He was a challenge for me. He did a lot of education as far as a spoiled horse, and he bucked and kicked and struck and all kinds of stuff. And I, as a kid, I probably should have been scared off, but I was up for the challenge and ended up enjoying him for quite a few years and finally got my parents involved, and my dad got a horse, and it just grew from there.
Well, that's great. You know, it's interesting when you were talking about that first horse with a little of his bucking and his cutting up that was going on. Had Kristen Harris on a couple of weeks ago. Kristen is a tremendous young singer and entertainer from Texas, and she was talking about her first horse. And she said it was advertised as bomb-proof and baby broke. And Not always are they as advertised, but it's great that your dad got involved and your family got involved with horses because of your love of horses. And you were sharing with me earlier this week when we visited a bit about the fact that your dad actually got involved with harness racing.
We did for a short period of time. We ended up buying a horse privately that ended up being a registered standardbred, and she was really old breeding and really a cool horse, and I got her papers through the people that originally owned her and decided, well, we're going to get into harness racing because right across the border in Canada, there was a harness racing track. And so decided that it was going to be a fun thing to do. And so we went up and checked it out and met some people and decided that we'd breed the mare and we'd get going with the harness racing. But it was fun because I had the opportunity to learn how to drive and have the privilege of driving some of those horses. And they were pacers. So they,
right.
You didn't feel that any movement at all. It was just a nice beautiful slice through the air and nice and smooth and fast and just a lot of fun. So got all excited about that and ended up getting involved and getting the mare bred. And unfortunately, you know, through, you know, having to have a lot of money to do that and get into it, we just didn't have the money to do it. And the colt was actually born. We couldn't get the papers because the stallion was Canadian. And it was a calamity of errors that happened. And so we ended up selling the colt and turned around and bred the mare to an Arabian. And we ended up having some interesting crosses and riding horses.
Wow.
And so it was a short stint in the harness racing, but it was fun while it lasted.
Right. Do you ever get out and drive any today?
I have driven off and on, and I really enjoy it. I've driven draft horses. I've driven harness horses, just a little bit, just for fun.
Right.
Would love to. It's definitely interesting and definitely fun, and it's one of the things the magazine has allowed me to do is experience a lot of different things. So it is fun to drive. I agree.
Well, that's pretty cool. I've never driven horses, just horseback. So that's something I'd like to experience sometime. But now you got into the quarter horses, and I believe you told me that you majored in horsemanship in college. Talk a little bit about that.
I did. I got my first quarter horse and I wanted to go to a horsemanship college after high school and, you know, further my career with horses. And so I went to a little college in Silverton, Oregon called Canyon View School of Horsemanship. And at the time it was predominantly hunter jumper, 3-day eventing and so forth. So it was interesting to have a little quarter horse gelding going to school for jumping. But it was fun. We had a couple of us down there that had quarter horses and learned quite a bit. It was an experience of a lifetime and learned a lot about managing a horse business, from training to giving lessons to horse care. It was just a really well-rounded, and it was also a faith-based college.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a faith background and really well grounded, really good school. And at the time it was only a 6-month program. It was pretty short. Now I think it's a 2-year program and they've gotten into cutting and mostly Western type sports and so forth in the school itself, but really a good time in my life and a good experience.
Well, when you finished that course there, what was your career path?
Well, I was going to come back and be a horse trainer. That was my mm-hmm. goal, and I was pretty young. I was, you know, early 20s, and came back and went to work for a dude string for a while, breaking horses for the dude string, and I really enjoyed that. Had a really good time. Dude string was interesting because it was in Birch Bay, so it was in a nice place right by the ocean, and we had I'd get to ride quite a variety of horses, but there just wasn't any money and I couldn't make any money at it, so it was hard to support my horse habit. And so I ended up picking a career path that was more along the lines of customs brokerage and clearing goods commercially into the U.S.
Right. Well, when you were working with the dude ranch and breaking these horses, there had to have been some pretty interesting experiences that you had during that period of time. Anything that comes to mind?
Absolutely. I was working with a horse that the guy had got in for training that was a really big Appaloosa gelding. He was just huge. And, you know, I asked him, I said, what's the history on this horse? And he said, well, he's just kind of spoiled and needs to be, you know, reschooled. And we want to put him on the dude string and we'd just like you to ride him and see what's going on. And I got on the horse and he ponied me from this really small thoroughbred that looked tiny compared to this big horse. And I thought, boy, if he decides to go, he's going to take that horse with us. I loved the horse, had a great time with him. He gave me very little trouble. We turned him into a really nice dude string horse. And I remember out riding him one day out in the field and loping him around and just having a good time. And there was a couple standing by the fence. So I rode over to greet them and I asked them, I said, what can I do for you? And they said, well, we own that horse. And what would happen with the dude string is he would use horses for the summer and then they'd go back to the owners in the winter. And if people weren't using them or whatever, it would get them ridden and cared for and so forth. Well, the people were just in total shock that this horse was being ridden and he was so agreeable because he had actually dragged and killed a man.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know that. I mean, they never, oh, wow. It wasn't close to me. And, you know, immediately I went limp and I'm thinking, holy cow, would have been nice to know that. But,
people just don't always tell you everything about horses that they should tell you, do they?
No. Sometimes it's a good thing, probably. I probably never would have got on him had I known that, but it ended up working out really well, and I sure feel for the family that lost somebody, but it isn't always the horse's fault, so.
Right,
I find that out.
Well, how long did you work with that dude ranch operation?
Close to a year. Dang. And then I it just didn't pay very well, so I had to do something that was going to feed the horse habit I had at home and further my career if I could figure out a way to make it pay. And so it was too easy to go get a corporate job at the time, so that's what I ended up doing. That way I could afford to have my horses and go do things in the evening and weekends, and so it worked out.
Well, that's good. Well, we're going to take just a real quick break. And, you know, I told you I was debating what type of song to play for our break after you told me that story about that Appaloosa.
Uh-huh.
I know which one it is. This is a song that we're going to listen to called She's a Cowgirl. And it's one by Belinda Gale. And we're talking with Karen Pickering with Northwest Horse Source Magazine, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. When we come back, we'll talk more with Karen.
She takes off her gloves, her shacks, and her spurs, hangs them up each on their peg. Dips into an evening of glittering stars, slaps her dusty old hat on her leg. She is a cowgirl, generations of life handed down. Just like her mother and her mother before her, she steadfastly stands in her ground. 'Cause she is a cowgirl to this life and this land she is bound. A heart gave work behind her, another before her, yet a smile plays on her pretty face. In hints of leather, she's strong, she's lean, yet moves with a smooth, supple grace. She is a cowgirl, generations of life handed down. Just like her mother and her mother before her, she steadfastly stands in her ground. 'Cause she is a cowgirl to this life and this land she is bound. She came from the city, blew in like the wind. When ranch life grew rough, he blew out again. But the treasure God gave them, she clung to her breast, a small baby girl, daughter of the West. Now they work the cattle and they love their horses and the land that's wrapped around their souls. When she sees that passion in the eyes of her daughter, knows for her she must never let go. She is a cowgirl, generations of life handed down. Just like her mother and her mother before her, she steadfastly stands in her ground. 'cause she's a cowgirl to this life and this land she is bound. She is a cowgirl, she'll do what she has to do. She is a cowgirl to this life and this land.
That's Belinda Gales. She's a cowgirl, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we're talking with Karen Pickering, who is the owner and publisher and editor of Northwest Horse Source magazine in Washington. And Karen, when I listened to that song earlier today, I was thinking about that girl with her hat and her chaps and her spurs and kind of dusting herself off, and I expect you did a little bit of that when you were breaking some horses.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Well, after being horseback and starting at 10 years old and going and riding through school and then taking the college courses that you did and working with the Dude Ranch, how was it then to have to spend some time in an office?
Well, at first it was an exciting change, but I really enjoy people, and so no matter what you do, I think if you enjoy being around people, you can make anything a pleasure to do. And I made some lifetime friends. I met some really neat people through this experience, and that's where I got my interest in computers. So I was kind of a computer geek and got involved with some computer programming and being instrumental in some of the first programs with customs where programming for electronic transfer of entries and so forth was happening. So right about the beginning of the real boom for computers, I was involved in that. So I kind of got hooked on computers and,
okay.
And knew that at some point I still wanted to work with horses and I still wanted to have that be a big part of my life. And so always trying to think what opportunities are there that can, you know, further what I really wanted to do.
Right, right. So at what point was it that you decided to make the move from that life to, I think at that time, was it Horse Source magazine?
The very first issue was Horse Source. And
okay.
It grew out of starting to do company newsletters. And, you know, I was pretty bored with punching numbers all day and doing that kind of stuff. And so I decided I was going to do a newsletter for the company to give information, you know, throughout the company and have a way to share information with our clients and so forth. And this is kind of fun. So I started doing it, doing a little graphic design and taking a little, some courses at the college and learning how to do some of that stuff. And got the idea that about 6 months before a friend and I put a show together at our local fairgrounds, and it was called True Country. And it was two local country singers were the entertainment, and we brought in several different horse acts, if you will, demonstrations, and we brought in some herding dogs, and we put on a one-day show. And I put the publication together for that. And I thought, I love doing this. I'm going to do a magazine. And I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea what to expect, but just jumped in with both feet. And in December, the first issue of the Horse Source came out, and quickly decided I better be a little bit more targeted toward the region I'm going to cover. And
right.
the next issue was the Northwest Horse Source. And I haven't missed an issue since.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, it's a terrific publication, and you do a great job with your newsletters still and beautiful magazine.
Thanks.
But tell us a little bit about the magazine. What's involved in it? What do we see in there? And what I'm really interested And, of course, we want to know what kind of coverage that you have out there. But also what I'm really interested in is how have you enjoyed going out and doing what you do? Because I know you just, you're all over the place.
Well, part of doing a magazine, you know, the first few years were a lot of all-nighters and a lot of, you know, just really trying to get things figured out and a lot of good people helping me along the way, getting people smarter than I was to do some of the stuff I just didn't know how to do was real key. And, you know, for example, now I've got an editor. I'm actually the publisher would be my title. My editor is Catherine Madera, and she does a marvelous job putting a nice spin on the stories that we get in. And I would say the biggest enjoyment I have is to be able to travel and to learn what other people experience and go through. And probably the turning point for the magazine was when I joined American Horse Publications. And I think that was probably 97. I started the magazine in December of 95. And that's where I really got some key help. And being able to rub shoulders with some of the national magazines and some of the people that were just helpful and just would come in and answer any questions for me. And particularly, I got to mention Doug Hayes with the Quarter Horse Journal. He was just one of the kindest, most helpful people that I met at the beginning of this whole process. And he would give me a call to check and see how I was doing. And if I had questions that I just didn't know what to do, he'd help me. He'd go through it and he'd say, here's what I would do. And just really kind. And I look forward to seeing him every year at the convention and just some really neat people in the industry. But today, my biggest enjoyment is getting out on my horse, taking pictures, because I do a little photography on the side, going to these, writing about them, taking pictures, but be there on my horse. And she's kind of we're kind of a jack of all trades and a master of none. We do a lot of different things. I do cattle sorting. I do mostly trail stuff. We've really gotten into this mountain trail, and Equine Trail Sports is an organization I'm heavily involved with now. And I started out learning how to do a little judging and am actually involved in the competitions now, which is just so much fun. I really enjoy it. And then
that's great.
Do a little cow horse stuff when I can, but I think it gives me a really good rounded background to share with our readers because I can understand what they're going through on a daily basis with horse care. You know, I care for my own horse at home, and I think it really makes a better understanding of what we need in the publication, from horse care to training to, you know, just stories, especially the cover stories that tell about people in our region that are doing cool things with horses. So I enjoy my life. I couldn't be more blessed. I'm not rich, but I'm certainly rich in ways other than money. So
that's great. Well, that's really what's important. You know, I think your magazine and what you're doing with that is such a great benefit to folks that are throughout those 10 states that you cover. But gosh, what a pleasure it is to be able to do something that you love and meet people that you enjoy and participate in an activity that is your career.
Yeah,
and that's just amazing. I've told people many times one of the greatest gifts to me by doing the show is I've met so many really neat people. The horse world is really a small world, and of course we have musical guests on, and that's a small world as well. But a lot of benefit in doing what you do and what I do as far as the medium is concerned. So your website.
Website is nwhorsesource.com.
Okay.
And we put a lot of news items up there. You'll read a lot of local news. I have a blog on there that I try to write every Friday. It hasn't happened because I've been gone every weekend doing fun stuff. But that's the goal, and taking pictures. And so this winter I'll have a lot to write about. But and we do some, you know, some promotion with banner promotion, and we do press releases, and of course all our articles go up online. We have a digital edition. We're moving towards mobile. Of course, everything is going mobile with tablets and smartphones and everything. So we're going to keep up with the technology there, and hopefully, you know, within the next 6 months to a year, we'll be completely mobile. And so you'll be able to view the magazine with your phone or your tablet and take it with you wherever you go.
Well, that's great. You know, question comes to mind. Do you think that print will go away one day?
If so, I think it's going to be a long time, because one of the things I hear from people, and I even get letters from people, physical letters, believe it or not just emails, that say some of us don't want to be online, and we prefer to hold something in our hand and not have to rely on power or technology or Wi-Fi. We want to just get away. And honestly, there's just something about having a print publication and sitting down and reading it and looking at it. I think there's a lot of credibility that goes along with having a print publication, because there is so much misinformation online and there's so many choices. It's overwhelming. And
right.
We want people
right.
to feel comfortable to go to a source that they know. They can do business with a company that's well-grounded. We've been here for a long time. I mean, this will be our 20th year. 2015 will be our 20th year. And, you know, do you want to do business with somebody you know, or do you want to do business with and gather information and go to resources that you don't know the people behind the product that you're buying?
Right. Well, absolutely. You know, and I'm kind of the same way. I enjoy sitting down with a book in mm-hmm. hand or a magazine. And gosh, I'm pretty bad about dog-earing a book, you know, or a magazine. Shame on me, I guess, particularly with the books, but, you know, or highlight and underline something, which is, you know, things that you can't do with something that's just online. So, but you've got a great publication, and I enjoy getting your newsletters that come out. They're full of great information, and you just do a great job with Northwest Horse Source magazine, and just a super young lady. I've enjoyed meeting you and talking with you. We want to, we've run out of time. Our half hour has gone pretty quickly for me.
Yeah.
And want to have you come back and talk some more about what's going on. We'd like to keep up, Karen, with activities that are going on out in the Northwest so that we can kind of help promote the things that are going on out there for you. So,
I appreciate you having me on the show, and we look forward to doing this again. Absolutely.
Well, appreciate you very much, and thanks for taking the time to join us. And we look forward to talking with you real soon. And again, that's Karen Pickering with Northwest Horse Source Magazine, and the web address is nwhorsesource.com, so check that out. And Karen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, talk with you soon.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye. All right, enjoy talking with Karen. We have a young lady that we're going to be visiting with in just a few moments, Tina Mae Weber, and she has some exciting news to share with us. But in the meantime, we remind you that we are brought to you by our great sponsors at the General Store and at the gallery at East of Santa Fe, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the equestrian lifestyle at equestrianlegacy.net. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we'll be back in just a moment to talk with Tina Mae Weber.
Drifting again like an old Tom. tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seed. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. She cut me loose and told me don't come back. Now I'm like a hobo by the railroad track, drifting again like an old tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seeds. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. South, east, or west, it don't matter much to me. I guess she wanted me to put down roots, but I just couldn't grow them through these cowboy boots. Drifting again like an old tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seeds. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. Yes, I'm drifting. Till then, I'm drifting again. Let's do some drifting. Here we go. Got the wind in my back.
Our friend R.W. Hampton and his song Drifting Again, and R.W. is really doing some drifting. He and Lisa, his lovely wife, are in France right now for a little bit, so I wonder how they're dealing with that tall cowboy from New Mexico. But Drifting Again by R.W. Hampton, you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we have a young lady that is just so multi-talented that it's amazing. And that is Tina Mae Weber, who is a trail rider, a mother, a caregiver, an inventor, and soon to be a radio co-host. Tina Mae Weber, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, just proud to talk with you today. And for folks that may have missed you on the show before, you've been a guest a couple of times, and let's let you tell folks a little bit about your horse background and what you've been involved with.
Oh my! Well, we got to cut this short, right? I've been involved with horses all my life, and I've always had a passion, you know, for horses and riding. And it was funny, I was listening to Karen Pickering about her standardbred horse, and I've talked about my big red horse before,
right,
my big 17-hand,
right,
one-hand high gelding. Well, he came off the track as a pacer. My uncle used to race pacers and trotters, standardbred racehorses, and that is what my big red horse was a standardbred. So I know exactly what she was talking about.
Wow. Well,
yeah,
so you've,
pretty crazy.
You've been involved with horses since you were just a little toddler, and you do a little trail riding?
Oh, I do quite a bit of trail riding. It's funny. You know, I've done a little bit of everything almost, but trail riding is my passion, and it's great when somebody asks me what I do for a living, and I can come back and say, well, I'm a trail rider.
Ah.
I do. I love what I do. I believe this is God's country, and I want to see it from the back of my horse, and that is what I do. And along with that, with the traveling and putting wet blankets on my horse and out there riding, it has given me the opportunity to put things together for more convenience and safety. And I've designed a few saddles, and I've designed a TNT camp kitchen, and I've got another design that I've got in the works as soon as I find me a manufacturer, and I've just got a lot of things going on, and I'll have a new Circle Y trail saddle out there hopefully by the fall. And,
well, that's you know, one of the things that I think Tina May, and I've told you before long you'll be like Cher or Madonna. People will know just Tina May, and they'll immediately know who you're talking about. But one of the things that your trail experience and the time, and you're actually spending so much time out riding and on the trail, it gives you an insight, first of all, as to what trail riders need to make things more convenient and safe for them. And I guess that went into the design of your first saddle and the second one that's coming out, hasn't it?
Yep, and actually this is my third saddle, but yes,
oh,
absolutely.
Wow.
It was that, you know, I needed in a hurry, and I didn't want to fumble around trying to find things, and that fencing tool, that is, you know, I didn't start out with fencing tool when I went out riding. I always had the, you know, normal hoof pick, and that's it, but, you know, that fencing tool is a pretty handy tool to have out on the trail, and I just think it's a must-have, and because it's got so many tools in one. And a lot of times when you're out there riding, it depends on the terrain that you ride in. It depends what area you ride in. And, you know, I ride all over. And there's many times, I call it a little boulder that gets stuck in that horse's foot. And I'm only 5'2", and I'm no Hercules. And sometimes you need that leverage on that fencing tool with that pick and that hammer to get those out of those horses' feet that's lodged in there. And
right.
It's just a handy little thing to have, and it's got the wire cutters, you know, in case there's some hidden wire somewhere from old fences or whatever. I mean, it is just a really good tool to have out there, and you want it, you don't want to fumble for it. You want it right there, and that's why I got the pocket on the saddle and the comfort. You want a comfortable saddle, but it's important. It's just as important at the comfort, if not more, for the horse as well as the rider out there because
right.
They're hauling you. And so,
right.
I mean, there's just a lot of thought process that went into that, and you got to think of safety.
Well, let me ask you, what have been some of the most interesting and enjoyable experiences that you've had out on the trail?
Oh, my goodness. Anytime I'm on top of my horse, it's enjoyable. Bar none. Anytime. Some of the experiences that I've had... you know, some of the rides that I've done, the Michigan Trail Riders Association has that shore ride that's really interesting, and I've seen a lot of things, and I've seen a lot of people. I've learned a lot of things. I remember one time I was out camping, and it was in the springtime. It wasn't quite summertime yet, but I surely didn't expect to wake up to ice that morning, and I was in my little stock trailer and camped out there, and I mean, it was cold, and I didn't have anything but a little weekender package in my trailer that I've done myself, and I remember getting out my cast iron skillet, and I got my cast iron Dutch oven, stuck some rocks in the fire, set Dutch oven on top of my cast iron skillet so it wouldn't burn the carpet on the floor, and put those rocks in that Dutch oven just to get the nip out of the air so I could sleep at night.
gosh. Necessity is sometimes the mother of invention, isn't it?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Demand. But since then, I've learned a better trick than that, and that's a hot water bottle. If you can find them, they're hard to find now. That is a handy way of keeping yourself warm, throwing it underneath the covers, and to keep you warm on those cold nights or unexpected frosts that come in, and that's kind of a handy little deal to have too.
Well, that's pretty handy, but now that's what that blue healer is for that you travel with, isn't it?
yeah, but sometimes just don't do the trick.
Oh, goodness gracious days. Well, any particular trail ride, I mean, an event that was on a trail ride, besides being cold, and we could have had some ice almost here in Tennessee. I don't know how your weather is up in Missouri right now, but it got pretty cool a couple of mornings down here.
Oh, it's right now.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminds me the last several days here in Tennessee have reminded me of fall mornings instead of the end of July, beginning of August. And yeah, Karen Pickering was talking about how warm it was out in Washington right now. It's just weather's been interesting. But you're having some pretty weather up in Missouri, aren't you?
Oh, it's gorgeous. The humidity's down. It's almost like Indian summer. It's cool nights. It's perfect camping and riding weather. And it's just been gorgeous out. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, makes you want to climb on your horse and go somewhere particularly when we've got weather like this here in the southeast in July and the beginning of August. We want to talk a little bit, Tina May, about something new and exciting that you have gotten involved in. But we want to take just a real quick break before we do that. And then we're going to talk about what it is that you got involved in and when it's getting started. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun and might be of interest to the trail riders out there. So we're talking with Tina May Weber, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. We'll be back in just a moment. But right now, this is a little Yodel Western Swing with Kristen Harris, and we'll be back.
Little yodel lady, won't you do your thing? Show us
yodel, Western swing. And Tina May, have you ever tried to yodel?
Actually, I did. Please don't ask me to try it here.
Oh, gosh. Well,
I used to do that when I was little. I thought
you know,
I was good.
If you're so inclined, you could just kind of break out the little yodeling for us. So I'll leave that up to you.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
gracious, gracious. Well, we'll have to do that another time. I think that would be fun. A little
That's
yodeling
funny.
On your end would be a lot of fun.
That'd be fun for you, fun for me, but the listeners might not like it so well.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that they would. I'm sure they would. Hey, let's talk a little bit about, first of all, I want to ask you, folks that might be interested in your saddles or your TNT camp kitchens, where can they find information on those?
I have a one-page landing page that would probably be the best place for them to go, and it will direct them to each of the links on what I have out there. And it's at www.giddyupgaltinamay.com. And May is spelled with an E, so it's TINAMAE.com.
Okay, giddyupgaltinamay.com. And so they can check out your website there for information on the saddles and the TNT campground kitchens, or TNT kitchens, camp kitchens. So that's pretty cool. So your saddles are great looking, and you've got accessories that go along with those too, so I'd encourage people to check that out. But you and I have, of course, you've been on the show a couple of times. You and I have become friends and have enjoyed chatting over the last several months. And we kind of came together on something that I think our audience and folks are going to be real excited about. And that is Equestrian Legacy Radio's what?
Saddle Up America.
Saddle Up America. So tell us a little bit about Saddle Up America and what we've got going on there.
Oh, I'm so excited about it. Saddle Up America is all about trail riding. It's for the trail riders out there, the real trail riders out there that get up on their horses and ride these trails. And we're going to have trail tips, survivor tips, trail safety, trailer safety. We're going to talk about horse campgrounds and have a feature horse campground out there that people may have suggested, or a really popular place, or a place that has some really great trails and everything. And then we want trail scouts, which is you. It's the people. It's the listeners. We want them to jump on board, call in, talk about the trails in their area. Possibly there might be a nice big charity trail event, you know, that's coming up, and they can talk about that. But it's all about trail riding. It's all about the trail rider. And I am just ecstatic. I'm very excited about it, and I want everybody to participate. It's for them. Or even
well,
though you have campfire cooking, or about Dutch oven cooking, or something out on the trail, or I'll tell you what, these women out there, they've got, and some men too, have got some really great, easy, convenient recipes for when you're out there riding, you come back from riding, you just throw it together and it's done. And I want them to jump on too. I love to hear the recipes when we do the campfire cooking. So it's going to be really neat and hopefully very informative for everybody.
Well, we're looking forward to that. And so Saddle Up America will have its first show this coming Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. Central. And it's going to be a show for people to call in and share information and ask questions. I was talking to someone the other day, Tina May, about this program, and they said, well, this sounds like a travel show about horses on the radio. And I said, well, I think that's kind of what it is, because we'll be traveling and visiting with campgrounds and guest ranches and trail riding locations all across the United States and Canada. We may want to hear from some of our folks that are listening in the rest of the Americas, because we've got folks that are listening throughout the country. But this will be a lot of fun, and it will be every Tuesday evening at 7 Central Time. And it is, as you said, it's designed for folks to call in and participate with us on this show.
Absolutely.
And our first guest for Tuesday night will be who?
Oh, it's Robert Eversole, the Trailmeister. And we're also going to have a really neat campground at Seven Springs, and he's going to also talk about the Rattlesnake Saloon in Alabama.
All right. So Robert Eversole, who is known as the Trailmaster, is a fellow that's really well-known all across the country. He writes for several national publications. And Robert has been our guest on Equestrian Legacy Radio a couple of times in the past, so a lot of great information that he'll be sharing during the first show. And, again, this is for people to call in and ask questions and get involved. And then we'll be traveling down to Tuscumbia, Alabama. Is that right?
Yeah.
And we'll visit with Seven Springs Lodge and Resort there, and we'll find out why they call it the Rattlesnake Saloon. And I think folks will enjoy that. But this is going to be a fun show for our first show, and I know that you've been busy working hard on getting some really terrific shows lined up for the month of August, and we won't share all of that right now, but it's going to be a fun month.
We're going to have our trail trivia. This is going to be the fun part, and we're going to be giving away prizes every week. It's going to be different, and it's going to be a trail trivia to make it fun for the listeners to call in, jump in when the trail trivia, and they will win a prize. So it's going to be fun, and I think that everybody's going to enjoy it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You mean I can actually listen to the show on Tuesday nights at 7, get some great information,
mm-hmm.
and call in and ask questions, and then on top of that, I can win some cool stuff, too?
Oh, you bet. You bet.
Oh, that's...
It's fun. It's going to be very... we want the people to call in, not only to ask questions, but we want to hear some tips from them as well, and what's worked for them, what hasn't worked for them, and I also want to get a good feedback on the trails, in their area. Tell me about those trails and what you like about them, what you don't like about them. And I want to hear where people like to go. Where's your favorite place to camp and trail ride? Let everybody else know so they can enjoy it too. And just get people, be in the know. I want the trail riders to be in the know and know what's out there.
Okay, well, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to our first show. And, again, that is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. And
mm-hmm.
it premieres Tuesday evening at what time?
7 p.m. Central Standard Time.
7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And you need to be sure and go visit our Facebook page, Equestrian Legacy Radio. And we appreciate the likes there. And you'll be kept up to date there. And then also the website is equestrianlegacy.net. And we'll have show information there as well, plus other information, and also feature the great sponsors that we have that are providing some really terrific giveaway items for our trail trivia for the Saddle Up America show. So all of that information will be there on the website. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. Tina May, you're going to be a lot of fun to work with on this. And you always are a lot of fun, and I expect if people called in or sent us an email at equestrianlegacy.net, we might be able to talk you into doing a little yodeling for the second or third show or something.
You're so mean.
Oh,
I can't tell them no. Oh, I'm sorry, though.
There you go. So all it takes, guys, is just a little email or send us a message on Facebook and let us know that you want Tina May to do some yodeling for us. So anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun.
One word. Payback.
What?
That's all.
We'll have to be careful about that. But anyway, that's going to be a lot of fun. That is Saddle Up America, and it starts at this Tuesday evening, August the 5th. Yeah, August the 5th, 7 p.m. Central Time. Tell your friends and neighbors to join us for that show. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have some great giveaways, some great information with the Trail Meister. And we'll have some great information, I'm sure, that's shared by our listeners that are calling in. So be a trail scout. Let us know what's going on out there. And then we'll visit Seven Springs Lodge and the Rattlesnake Saloon and have some great information for you about that as well. So tune in at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night for Saddle Up America. And then next Thursday on Equestrian Legacy Radio, we have a great show. Lined up on Thursday, August the 7th at high noon. We'll be talking and listening to the music of Gene Prescott, multi-award-winning singer-songwriter, and also we'll be joined by Jim McGarvey with Backcountry Horsemen of America to kind of update us on some things that are going on with them. And then in September, Backcountry Horsemen of America will be slipping over to the Saddle Up America show to come on there every month and give us about a 10-minute update on what's happening with the trails. It's going to be a lot of fun things happening with Equestrian Legacy Radio's programs as we're going into the fall. And so we want to be sure and have you join us for that as well. So, Tina May, any final words that you'd like to leave our audience with today?
Well, just listen in, join in, and be a part of it. It's all for you. It's about you. I want you on there. And, you know, you can even message me. Message me if there's a topic that you want to hear about, and we'll just go from there because I'm listening. I'm listening to you.
All right. Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. So we've had a good time today talking with Karen Pickering with Northwest Horse Source Magazine. Check their website out at nwhorsesource.com. A great magazine. They provide information for about 10 states out in the Northwest, but it's online. It's a small world, so you can get information wherever you are. And also check out Tina May's website to find out more information about her saddles and her camp kitchens, and that is at giddyupgaltinamay.com, and find out information there as well. So as always, we remind you, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride. Tina May, thanks for being with us today, and we'll be talking with you on Tuesday. And thank you to our listeners for joining us for another program with Equestrian Legacy Radio. We're going to close the show out today with Michael Martin Murphy's Boy from the Country. Thanks for listening.
Because he called the forest brother, because he called the earth his mother, they drove him out. Some people even said that the boy from the country was insane. Because he spoke country. Left his home when he was young. Boy from the country. He loves the sun. Tell us that we should love the land. We just turned our heads and laughed. You see, we did not understand. But you know, sometimes I think the boy from the country must be the only one who sees. Cause the boy from the country doesn't want to see the forest. He'd rather see the trees. Boy from the country left his home when he was young. Boy from the country, he loves the sun.